Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It is the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danka and Manisha Tang, as well as Ryan Huang with you. I've been trying to wrap my head around this, Manisha. Maybe you can help me out. Special Purpose Acquisition Company, SPEC. Any idea what exactly this is?
Well, they're also known as blank check companies, a company with no commercial operations that's formed strictly to raise capital through an initial public offering, an IPO, for the purpose of acquiring an existing company. So basically, it makes it easier for another company to list by buying a SPAC. So you skip the IPO, the work, the bureaucracy. It's like your fast ticket in.
And I understand that SPACs have actually been around for decades. They haven't quite gone mainstream in recent times, but they have attracted big name underwriters and investors and raising a record amount of IPO money. In fact, last year.
Yeah. And actually, just recently, Singapore-based Vistus Media Capital, or VMC, has raised $100 million through the listing of a SPAC to acquire media and entertainment businesses.
Yeah, called Vistus Media Acquisition Company, or VMAC, they have commenced trading on the Nasdaq Stock Exchange, and they'll be looking at tech-based media businesses valued around 300 to 600 million USDs to effect a merger, share exchange, asset acquisition, share purchase, or even a combination of all of these.
Yeah. Once it is identified a target company, the SPAC can look towards investors to raise remaining funds for the transaction. But the question is, how can a VMAC take Singapore to the global stage with this SPAC?
Very interesting. We find out more from Abhayanat Singh, who is co-founder Vistus Media Acquisition Company. Abhi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you so much for taking the time, in fact. We're very curious about this Singapore-based Vistus Media Capital, so VMC, and they've raised $100 million USD through the listing of a special purpose acquisition company. So we were talking about SPAC earlier, right? The idea is to acquire media and entertainment businesses, and there is hope of capturing the growing interest in blank check vehicles among investors. Tell us a little bit more about VMC. Tell us a little bit more about the business model.
So we're essentially a Singapore-based integrated media company. You know, our line of businesses include production and distribution of films. We do everything from Hollywood to Bollywood. We also organize a Singapore South Asian International Film Festival that's been happening for the last 4 years. We co-own a couple of award shows in India. So, you know, we were growing as a company, and then we thought we were exploring alternative ways to take the company global. And then we came across this opportunity to do a SPAC, as it is called, you know, a special purpose acquisition company. And we started work in the beginning of the year, and, you know, we started trading on the 7th of August this year.
You must be very pleased that Bollywood came back online today, because production is restarting, and that's big news over in India today. So VMAC recently started trading then on the NASDAQ, and it's probably the only listing of a blank check company. First of all, can you explain what this actually is in layman's terms?
Sure, I'll try to make it simple. So, you know, in a regular IPO, one has an operational business, and let's say you need money to grow the company. You go to the public, do an IPO, raise money, infuse that money in the business, and you grow the company. It's slightly reversed in terms of the process in a SPAC IPO. In a SPAC IPO, you first go and raise the money. So you literally don't have an operational business. It's a blockchain company, as it is called. So you raise that money through an IPO. Once the money is in an account, it goes to a trust account, which you can't really touch except for acquiring, you know, or asset acquisition or merger, reverse merger, multiple ways in which you find a company in the private space usually and fold it back into the listed entity. Now you have a combined entity, which of course has the money which was raised during the IPO and the real business that is merged into the listed entity. And now obviously you expect to grow the company with that money. So, of course, it's more complicated than that, but that's pretty much, you know, what a SPAC IPO does.
Okay. But then if we were to look at advantages and disadvantages with regard, I mean, it sounds like there are more advantages of, more upsides of using a SPAC compared to an IPO. What are your thoughts on this?
There is. In fact, that's the reason why, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs today are using SPAC to get listed. I'll give an example.
Okay.
You know, you usually spend, you know, in millions of dollars, for example, to list your company on NASDAQ. You would also prepare for 12 to 18 months or maybe more sometimes to do the IPO. And by the time you hit the market, you don't know how the market conditions are. It could be a bearish market for all you know. Whereas in a SPAC IPO, the work is already done. You know, the company is already listed. All you need to do is agree to the business combination. And then within a month's time, you're a listed entity with money in the account. So that is the reason why a lot of companies today are taking the route of a SPAC to get themselves listed, which is much more faster, which is cheaper, and there is less uncertainty in the whole process.
So you mentioned the timeline, right? And yeah, you bring up a good point, 18 months. So given today's current landscape, would you say it's much more recommended to go through the SPAC route? I mean, the market's a lot more volatile. We are in the middle of a pandemic. What is your opinion of it?
No, absolutely. In fact, that is the reason why we've seen a record number of SPACs this year. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know which way the markets are headed for. Mm. We also have elections coming up in the U.S. Mm. So, you know, for somebody who would start preparing for an IPO, one doesn't know, you know, when he'll be able to go to the markets with it. But if there's already an existing listed SPAC, it's much easier to merge into it, you know. So obviously, it is a much, much more preferred way right now.
Yeah, it definitely sounds very appealing, but there are companies that are still choosing the IPO option. So that suggests there are some disadvantages with a SPAC. What would they be?
You know, what happens typically is in a SPAC, people who invest during the IPO, they have the options to redeem their investments, which basically means that during the term, and, you know, term is, again, important factor. So for us, for example, we have an option to obviously do a business combination, as it is called. Sometimes we call it de-SPAC process also. Has to be done within a specified period of time. For us, for example, it's 12 months, and we have availability of two extensions of 3 months each. So that pressure is always there. You know, the time is always ticking. And of course, the other thing that I mentioned was that a lot of these SPACs do see some bit of redemption pressures. You know, I mean, tomorrow when we take the prospective company to our shareholders, you know, some of them may choose to take out their money. So that gives a little bit of uncertainty. Though we've seen a lot of companies overcoming that, because even if there are redemptions, you know, there are alternative ways to finance the deficit that exists.
Okay, that's really interesting. So, Abe, what does that suggest? What sort of investor does a SPAC appeal to?
You know, so there are a couple of types. One is, of course, there are these arbitrage investors. You know, there's not much money that you can make today in keeping your money in the bank account. So when they invest into a SPAC IPO, they not only get shares, but they also get warrants, which they would trade, and, you know, they would make a decent percentage there. So that's one. Secondly, obviously, it's the long-term investor, because what they're essentially today investing is, they're investing in the credibility, the capability, the experience of the management, that given the money, they'll be able to acquire a company that can grow much beyond just the business combination, you know, which is the second stage. So you typically have hedge funds, a lot of private equity funds betting heavily into SPACs. But we've seen a recent trend wherein a lot of retail investors are coming and, you know, trying out shares listed in the SPAC world.
I want to get back to VMAC, and I'm curious to find out how it's been doing since trading on the NASDAQ. I mean, what are your thoughts as well on the media landscape? Some say it was at a standstill, but things are coming back online. Is the optimism still there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody likes to believe that this is not the end of the world and, you know, things will get normal at some point in time. But, you know, we are, for example, a SPAC which is focused on media entertainment as a sector, which is pretty wide.
Okay.
So COVID would have, for example, impacted, say, film production or maybe live events, right?
Mm.
But at the same time, this actually helped a streaming platform. You know, while today it's very difficult to go on the main street and shoot a film, which also means, however, that shootings will happen in confined studios and there'll be a lot of usage of technology. So VFX studios, special effects companies will see a huge surge in their business going forward. So you have to therefore selectively identify the subsectors within the media entertainment space that could see, you know, some great business potential in times to come. And that's our job for the next 12 months, honestly.
Yeah, you got a big job there. Mm. I'm just curious, when exactly did you list on the NASDAQ?
On 7th of August this year.
Oh, so very recently. So the reason I'm asking is because years and years ago, during Jurassic times, I used to be a NASDAQ reporter over in New York. And, you know, it was always very celebrated when there was a listing, like those people would turn up. But of course, with the current pandemic, what was that process like, listing on the NASDAQ? And did you have to do it remotely?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty strange, you know. I mean, I had a lot of meetings, obviously, with investors during the investor roadshows. And all of it happened on the phone, right? I never saw the face of any of my investors, and neither did they see mine. So it all happened, you know, sitting in a room in Singapore. But, you know, we are yet to go through the whole process of the closing bell or the opening bell, which we are hoping to do it sometime very soon. But, yeah, it will be all virtual, you know. It'll be all virtual.
Yeah, interesting times we're in. So we did sell that. We wanted to talk about how VMAC is intending to take Singapore to the global stage through this SPAC. I mean, is it really as simple as what we see in Crazy Rich Asians or Westworld Season 3? Surely there's more to it than that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I mean, Singapore has a huge advantage, right? When we were raising money, for example, there's a lot of credibility associated towards us as a sponsor because we are based out of Singapore. Mm. And obviously, when you have a kitty of $100 million, and mind you, while we have an initial target to acquire a company, which is between $300 to $600 million of enterprise value, we could go higher with additional funding. Mm. And with that kind of a, you know, advantage, obviously it helps a Singapore company, which, you know, it's almost in the DNA of every Singapore company to grow internationally. And it will help us, you know, because if we tomorrow acquire a company, let's say North America, you know, that company will obviously then further grow by coming back to Asia, because everybody understands there's a growth potential that lies in Asia. So today, at the time when, you know, we really need to be international in terms of businesses from Singapore, I think, you know, an IPO of a SPAC gives us an advantage for any Singapore company like that, you know, to expand globally.
I suppose Industrial Light and Magic is a success story because they post-process out of Singapore at the Sandcrawler building, and in the time that we're in, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's in the future then? You've said that you're going to be quite busy for the next 12 months, but give us a bit more.
Well, you know, we obviously started talking to companies now. You know, like I said, it's a pretty vast segment. You know, you have video. Within video, you have VFX, special effects, production house, financing companies, distribution companies. Then you go to gaming, you go to esports, live events. Gambling, for that matter, has been quite a darling of the stock market recently. So there is a lot of sectors within the media entertainment that we need to, you know, go through, and companies in each of these sectors. And also, we are a global focus SPAC, you know, so we don't have any biases. I mean, we do like some companies because of the size in North America, in Europe, selectively in Asia, for that matter. So, yeah, for the next 12 months, you know, talking to a lot of companies on the phone or Zooms, you know, whatever you call them. But hopefully, you know, when things open up a little bit in 3 months, 6 months, whenever it is, you know, go and meet the founders, because, you know, at the end of it, you're buying a $600 million asset. You'd like to give a face to the name at the end of it, you know.
Certainly going to be very interesting times ahead. We've been speaking with Abhiyana Singh, who is co-founder of Vistas Media Acquisition Company. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We wish you the best of luck. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.